For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, we're going to go straight to the phones as quickly as we can, and we're going to go through the games that Christian may miss. Again, we know that Christian McCaffrey's out week two. The idea of IR has been brought up. Dibs, you and I both believe that means it's very likely it's happening. We'll see in the coming days. But if it does, that means Christian misses Minnesota, the Rams on the road, followed by the Patriots at home. The Cardinals at home would be eligible to come back for Thursday night in Seattle in early October. So question is, do you still see them as Super Bowl favorites? And what record do you think they might have after those five games? They're 1-0 already now. So we're going to go to the phones here in just a sec. But on the River Islands guest line, quickly jumping in here for some emergency Pandia, is our friend Doc Narav Pandia. Hey, Doc, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. But yeah, we'd love some answers. And I guess just a general reaction to not just the news that Christian is missing this weekend, but Kyle Shanahan's comment that yesterday was his worst day of pain. What does that indicate to you?
Yeah, that's not a very good sign. I mean, I think what we get concerned about is that clearly he's been dealing this for a while. He took all this time off during training camp. And as you're ramping him up, he gets the worst day of pain. That's super concerning in terms of, number one, does he need an extended period of time off, which it sounds like IR is the answer for that. It also then means, is this something that's going to be 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks? I mean, he rested. He did all the things that you would do to treat Achilles tendonitis, and he's having bad days. So that's super concerning as we head into the season. And I do worry, is this something that's going to be more than just IR time? Are we talking 6, 7, 8 weeks before he gets better?
Is there anything you can do with Achilles tendonitis other than just rest it?
There are some injections. You can do injections called platelet injections, called PRP, where you can inject in that. You know, some basketball players get it for MCL injuries, et cetera, that can potentially help the chronic changes or inflammation in the tendon go down. But the tough thing is that even with those injections, you just need to take time off. And that's the tough thing, is that you take time off and then suddenly you've been off for a period of time and then you have to ramp back up. And, you know, the football season just started, but you go 6 weeks of rest and you get this injection and you're trying to ramp up. Does that mean that he's got enough time to be explosive and get into shape and be productive this season?
Doc, I guess I would just ask, when you say extended rest, what does extended mean? Like, is there any reason to think that a month would do it, or is there, like, no way to know how long?
Yeah, without knowing the severity of it, but the fact that, you know, yesterday was the worst day, like, when we're dealing with non-professional athletes and they have, like, a flare-up of Achilles tendonitis, you say 3 months. Now, obviously, he's a professional football player, so you're not going to take 3 months off. In general, you're going to say, maybe we'll push the limit and do 4 to 5 weeks and then see, as Dan was mentioning, see how he does. But the worry always is, you feel pretty good until you get out in that field. Next thing you know, 5 weeks from now, he's out there and he's having pain again. And the risk of, number one, rupturing it, number two, causing chronic changes in the tendon, or number three, him hurting something else because Achilles is weak, it just raises all these possibilities that you are super concerned about.
Does the tendonitis portend for future injury, or is that just simply happenstance based on the wear and tear of an athlete?
Yeah, I think for an athlete, if this is just like, hey, he was doing great all off season, it started at the beginning of camp, and it's kind of flared up a little bit, you don't get super worried about it. But you hear that this is lingering at the end of last season. He had all offseason to get this better, and then it's still bothering him in camp. Then you do worry about, number one, you know, that risk of the rupture, but also, are there chronic changes starting to come in that tendon for someone who is his age and has played all this football? So you do worry about, is this going to be more of a long-term issue? Because it's been going on for a while and at the position that he plays.
Doc, thanks for hopping in real quick on an important day. We appreciate it.
No problem. Anytime, guys. Yep.
There he is. Emergency Pandia.
Yeah, it's so great to have him in case of emergency break glass.
Well, the only thing I heard, I mean, I heard all of it.
Yep.
But what stuck with me, twice in his first answer, super concerning.
Yeah.
End quote.
Yes, super concerning, because they did everything that they were supposed to do. And if he was feeling this back in February and through the offseason, then it's, yeah, let it quiet down, rest. And I don't even know if he had injections, the PRP, whatever he did, rest. No OTAs, no camp, rest, no preseason, rest, week one, sit. All right, I think we've done enough of the rest and stuff. Let's see what we've got. Day one, day two, uh-oh, full stop. Mm. That's what's really concerning is when you think about 6 months of rest and he got married and he was busy and I'm sure he was active because he's a monster when it comes to working
for
out.
Sure.
But you get all the way up to where it's time to go, and you get two practices in, and you got to shut him down. That is very concerning.
888-957-9570. How about, let's go to Ferris in Antioch. Hi, Ferris. Thanks for calling.
What's up, man? Thank you guys for letting me on. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for calling.
I just wanted to respond to a caller. I think he was a Raider fan, you know, a little depressed Raider fan. He was calling about, you know, he was criticizing Kyle. But I think he don't like Kyle Costa or the Falcons in the Super Bowl. Well, I've never seen an OC get more blamed for a Super Bowl loss than Kyle Shanahan in the 2017 Super Bowl versus the Patriots. I don't think he will blame Dan. And also,
all right, yeah, Ferris. I look, you're not going to get any disagreement whatsoever in this room. If I could make a rule, be like when we were playing quarters in college. I think when you hit three in a row, you got to make a rule. Remember that?
Oh, my God, you're taking me back.
You remember that?
No, I do remember.
You got to make a rule if you hit three in a row, okay? No elbows on the table.
Or whatever. Like, totally.
If you make another one, you get to run around the room, or everybody else has to, whatever. Take your shirt off. Stupid stuff. You're college kids. I'd like to make a rule. No more Kyle Falcon stuff.
You got to make three in a row first.
It's beyond irrelevant, not only because he wasn't the head coach and we don't do that, but B, it wasn't here. Like, if we're going to assess the coaching job of Kyle Shanahan, we've got a tremendous amount to work with here as the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. If you want to play coordinator games, then we get to go to Cleveland, and we get to go to Houston, we get to go to all these places, Washington, where Kyle was an assistant, and start assessing what happened in each of those cases, whether the team was better offensively, worse. It's really, really overwhelming, and quite frankly, a waste of our time.
It's irrelevant.
Atlanta out of this one game, where, by the way, the defensive coordinator, no one even knows who he was, and he was the one who couldn't stop the Patriots the entire second half.
Yeah, I believe the caller even said that. For those of you on YouTube, you heard him say, what the Chuck was his name?
That's right.
And I couldn't quite remember what he was talking about.
His name was Dan Quinn, because he was the head coach and a defensive guy.
I'm going to allow one wrinkle to your rule, and if you call in and you want to talk about him blowing a 28-9 point lead, I'll allow it, because when they got the ball back, it actually was 28-9. So if you really want to be nuanced about it,
but
he didn't blow a 28-3 lead because he's the offensive coordinator, and when he got the ball back to coordinate, it was already 28-9.
Yeah, but why are you then hanging on him all of the other scores that happened after that?
I'm not hanging any of it on him.
He doesn't get any of that. The Patriots ended up with over 30 points.
Whatever. He was a coordinator, and that was 10 years ago. So I'm with you, but I do like when people, 28-3, it wasn't 28-3, but you're right. We have enough of a body of work, and I do think that if Christian McCaffrey misses the next four games, so he misses the first five games, I still think that what Kyle Shanahan has done, what John Lynch has done, what this team is, you should still be 5-0. I'm going to give you 4-1.
5-0.
If you're 4-1 and you lose at LA or you lose the Sunday at Minnesota, I'm going to give you a pass.
I hear where you're coming from.
5-0. You're that good.
I hear where you're coming from, but if anything, haven't we learned over the last 7 days? Can we just go week to week? I know that that's not an answer that's satisfying to people.
Sure, Mark.
I get where you're coming from.
Asking me about the Sunday game. Well, let's talk about 3-10 on Friday.
But we know who's playing Sunday.
We do.
I don't know who's playing the next Sunday because you got to get through this Sunday.
There might not be a next Sunday if you ask Kyle Shanahan.
Ask Kyle, that's right. Right. The world might explode. Greg in Antioch next up on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Greg. Thank you for calling.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Quick question, man. What do you guys think about Kyle putting Debo at running back with wide receiver shoulder pads, running them up the middle? And he already has a bad shoulder from last year.
Well, I'm not a doctor, Greg, so I don't know if his shoulder from last year is fully healed or not or whatever. I get where you're coming from, and I'll just reiterate what I said earlier. My hope is that other running backs, whether it's Garendo, whether it's Taylor, whether it's somebody that they sign, a lot of people are bringing up Matt Breida, who was here just a couple of weeks ago. Could you bring him back? I would love to see other running backs be the ones who spell Jordan Mason during this time more than Debo. A, because yes, running him up the middle, I worry for Debo's health. But B, I want when Debo gets the ball out of the backfield, I love the element of surprise. I want those jet sweeps. That's all still going to happen. That was already going to happen. But just handing him the ball to run straight up the middle, not my favorite.
And you've got Garendo. You drafted him, and he's starting to get into shape and starting to get ready. I bet you see some Garendo carries on Sunday.
I agree with you. I hope so. We're sponsored by Safeway. The questions we're answering. A, if indeed Christian McCaffrey's gone through at least week 5, are the Niners still Super Bowl favorites? And B, through those first 5 games, what do you expect their record to be if he's out for all of them? 888-957-9570. Matty Barrow's on the beat in an hour. Your phone calls till then on Willard and Dibs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Possibly.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, is Christian McCaffrey going to be out a while?
Possibly.
Possibly.
What a difference 2 days makes, right? Two days ago, it was IR.
What a difference every hour makes.
Yep. But 2 days ago, it was not a consideration of IR. And then 2 days later, we're now considering it.
Yeah, but 5 days ago, we were all like, the Niners' offense is cooked. And now we're like, I don't think they're going to lose ever again, with or without Christian.
Well, the margin for error, if you don't have McCaffrey, does get a little bit smaller because you and I were talking at maybe at the end of last segment about, Matt Breida. Maybe you go out and bring back Matt Breida the Cheetah, and I was looking at other free agent running backs, Rashad Penny, who announced his retirement, Kareem Hunt, no thank you. As you go down the list of people who've actually been a running back who aren't signed by other teams, there aren't a lot of them out there. Yeah.
I just had another development come across.
Okay.
And so wanted to pass this along to everybody as well. The NFL has released this statement with regard to the 49ers' handling of the injury report on Monday and over the weekend. Quote, we looked into the 49ers' reporting of the playing status of Christian McCaffrey for the team's Monday night game against the New York Jets. We have found no evidence of a violation of the league's injury report policy in this matter. End quote. End issue.
End story, which was a non-story, and it unfortunately became a story because of Jordan Mason's on-field post-game interview where he told Lisa Salters, yeah, they told me on Friday I was going to start. Even if that was true, that still is not a violation because McCaffrey could have been the backup.
Absolutely.
And what if McCaffrey was in Kyle's doghouse, like Brandon Ayuk famously was? So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just because J.P. Mason's going to start doesn't mean that McCaffrey's going to be out due to injury. These things are mutually exclusive.
You're absolutely right. And everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people missed that sort of approach. The illegal thing would have been if Jordan Mason answered the question. They told me on Friday, right when they told Christian that he definitely wasn't playing.
Right.
Now we've got
no doubt
a violation. And you know what it would have been.
Would have been a violation sensation.
It would have been. All right, let's go
more
to
than a bucket. Probably would have been 100,000.
Right.
That's 100 grand. That's
cash
a clean 100. Yeah.
One time.
That's a clean 100K, I think.
Yeah, which Jed York is like, I didn't even notice that. But anyway, before we go to the phones, which we're going to do right now, but this take 13 seconds, Kyle Shanahan was asked about already being down to a third running back, because of course Eli Mitchell, now I think this is a little bit of a disingenuous sort of an approach. I think Jordan Mason was going to beat out Eli Mitchell anyway. I thought that all camp. But, okay, you're down to a third running back already. Here's Kyle's response.
It's different to be down to your third guy already. I never really looked at Elijah or JP as two or threes. I think those guys are capable of being ones, as Elijah's shown in the past, and so is JP. For those, the two new guys, when their op comes, I believe they're ready.
Okay, so he views JP as a one, so they're not down to their third running back. They've got three ones.
Right, now they got a couple of twos as well, and they should probably go out and add a three. And I was mentioning Keyshawn Vaughn on the practice squad. He might be a guy who gets elevated, so stay tuned. Kyle Shanahan, like his father before him, they've done a lot of magical things on the ground with people you've never heard of.
Always have.
Right.
Always have. And if you've been an NFL fan for a minute, you'll remember those names, from Mike Anderson to Olandis Gary to, and then the ones that actually had some name value, Terrell Davis and Clinton Portis and whatever. But it's just like, it doesn't matter who's back there. So it seemed. And the Niners have that too. Mostert, Breida, on and on. Okay. 888-957-9570. Christian McCaffrey is out for week two. The 49ers are considering an IR stint, which would push him through at least week five. Let's go to Jay. Hey, Jay, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, I guess your guy didn't tell you. So I want to put out the 95.7 community. I'm trying to drill through a leaf spring. Do I go carbide or titanium for a drill bit?
You got to go titanium. I don't think that the carbide is going to give you a clean enough cut. You know, you need the heat that comes with the titanium. Much cleaner trip through, if I can recall.
I'm going to answer this in a very fuddy-duddy way. Jay, our producers, and he's got a name. His name's Lucas. He's the director of sports at 95.7 The Game. He absolutely made us aware that you're trying to drill a hole in metal. And while Christian McCaffrey is facing IR, I'll straight admit I didn't give a rip. So, Jay, sorry for being I'm so sorry for being a fuddy-duddy. I really don't care what you do here with your metal. But I'm glad you called.
I'm taking Dibs' advice, then.
All right, good. You should.
Thank you.
I don't know the answer anyway.
Oh, yeah. It's clear.
So the thing is this, man. RBs don't last, and NFL teams know this. And, man, rest CMC. Just rest him. Just freaking rest him. And let Kyle do what Kyle does. All right? So you got an entire season, right? All right? So there's a large sample size. You have a large sample size for the season. And yes, did he make mistakes? Sure, in that final moment, the last quarter. But just trust in Kyle, people. Just trust in Kyle. And I'm sorry, Diz, what'd you say?
Titanium.
Titanium?
Titanium, Jay, yeah.
Go titanium. All right, I'm
appreciate
on it.
Appreciate it, yep.
Or, right. Or Tartanium. Or Tarkanian. Best. Thank you, Jay.
Use the Tarkanian,
yeah,
Blake.
Yeah, eat a towel and it'll be fine.
Best of luck, and he's right about RBs. They tend to not last, and because of that, if you can have a more fresh McCaffrey in week, whatever, 10 or 12, I don't even know if that exists. Clearly, right now in week two, he's not ready to go, and that doesn't have to be a devastating thing.
No, you're all absolutely right. I have the hardest time processing this point, though, because here's where my head goes. In fact, even the number one, the most recent set of texts on the Xfinity mobile text line, 510, thank you. Put him on IR so he's ready to go in the back half of the season when it counts. You know exactly what I'm going to say. How the hell you know he's going to be ready then?
Yeah.
He's been hurt since January. January.
Right.
So why do we suddenly think, oh, just put him away till week six, and then the Chiefs come to town, and they'll be ready to ride. Maybe. Maybe. I'm preparing my mind for Christian to not play this year. I'm not telling you I think that. I'm not telling you that it's going to go that way. But if Christian is ready to rock in the way that we know Christian is ready to rock, I'll be pleasantly surprised, and that will be wonderful.
Yes.
But, like, dude, if this has been lingering since January, on what planet are we all thinking, well, just give him a few more weeks? Like, they've given him a bunch of weeks.
Yeah.
He ain't ready. I don't know if he's going to play this year. I got no idea.
And I'll tell you this, having coached at a much lower level and dealt with athlete injuries, when you have an injury that could be severe, you immediately shift your mindset into, what do we do without this player? You want the player back. They want him ready for week three. And if he goes on IR, you're hoping he's ready for week six. And if he's not ready till week 10 or 14, you're going to be ready at that point. Between now and then, you've got to rush the ball. You've got to find a way to get yards on the ground and win football games. So I'm sure Kyle already is sympathetic to Christian's plight right now, but he's already moved on to,
wow,
what are we doing game plan wise without him?
No doubt. And here's where, when people go Super Bowl or bust, or it's a year-to-year league, here's where I do think you have to bring the future into play. Not just because of the contractual situation, but are you a human being? Like, Christian McCaffrey, if doctors are telling you, yeah, he could play week 9, he's at a much higher risk to rupture the thing. Well, now you're bringing next year, and you're bringing, quite frankly, in his late 20s at that position, you're bringing his entire career into the balance. And so I do think that's a conversation that could end up happening, where you do get to week 8 or week 9 or week 10, and you're like, this is just not worth the risk. We'll see you next year. Like, that's possible. That's possible, because you can't, even to win a Super Bowl, if you feel like this guy's at a high level risk of rupturing his Achilles, I mean, and I know what Christian will say, come on, coach, put me out there, it'll be fine. But similar to the conversation a lot of people are having today about Tua, you got to get other opinions entered into this whole conversation and sometimes help these players save them from themselves.
No doubt. And we obviously are not aware of just how severe the Achilles strain or the Achilles tendonitis is. And we've heard many doctors, and Dr. Nirav Pandya joined us earlier today, and Dr. Brian Feely earlier in the week. And based on the severity, that will indicate how much more likely it is that a rupture occurs. So not knowing how severe it is, we don't know that, because if he was on the precipice of a rupture, he probably would have had surgery in March and just bagged the year and got it good and sat a year and thought, you know what, I'll just come back in 9 to 12 months and make it better. But if it's a 50-50 thing where maybe rest will quiet it down and you'll be able to play,
right,
that becomes a more difficult thing. When I tore my ACL, I went to the doctor and they're like, you have no ACL. You need one. So we're going to go ahead and put one in from a cadaver. Okay. Wasn't a really difficult choice to make, right. But this is a tough call to make.
Absolutely. Absolutely. By the way, our friend Tim Kawakami sent this out about an hour ago, and I think it's a fair thing to enter at least informationally into the conversation. So many people now talking about the possibility of IR, which would make him eligible to come back week 6 against Seattle. As you pointed out, short week. And oh, by the way, what surface do they play on? Same thing that we're talking about in Minnesota and LA. That's another turf game, and it is a very short week. So if he's not going to be ready by Sunday against the Cardinals in week 5, you may well be thinking, let's not do week 6 in Seattle either. That's 4 days later, and it's on turf. So maybe right now the Niners are actually circling the week after that, which, correct me if I'm wrong, that's the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes, and they go after that game, they go grass,
okay,
turf, grass. That's their next 5, and okay, including a bye. The only turf game is at Seattle. No, they have Seattle at home, so Seattle's, those are all grass. It's Tampa's all, grass.
Is what is Buffalo?
Buffalo is turf.
Okay, so there's your next turf game after Seattle, right, is in December. It's in December because they will go home, Tampa, home, Green Bay.
Yep.
And a bye week in there, too.
Exactly. And the Buffalo game, I believe, is your final turf game of the year until you play, correct, until you play Arizona.
Arizona on January 5th, which hopefully the Niners have wrapped up the first round bye by then, yeah, because of, as we've learned, they will not be losing any games this year. And so he can rest for that one, too.
Yeah, and the reason why I still think that they are a Super Bowl team, and honestly, I think 5-0 after 5 games is where they should be. I just look back at the 2019 year. Niners go 13-3, and here are the carries. Tevin Coleman, 137. Raheem Mostert, 137. Matt Breida, 123.
Wow, that's crazy.
Those were your 3 running
that's
backs.
That's crazy.
And they all rushed for 4 to 5.5 yards a tote.
But this is a different team. I mean, when you acquire Christian, you're committing to more of a bell cow scenario.
But you can go from committing to committee if you have to. See what I did there? And this was much more of a committee. And if it's Mason and Garendo and, I don't know, whoever else you can find. Right, maybe Breida, right, comes
maybe
back.
Does,
maybe,
yep,
you can do it that way.
Let's go to Waterman in Corte Madera. Hey, Waterman, what's going on? You're on with Willard and Dibs.
Afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking the call.
Yeah, ma'am.
So I've got 2 things. Obviously, this is not the news any Niner fan wants to hear. And so I'm going to slightly contradict myself. My first thought is, if you're thinking IR, put him on IR right now. Why are we thinking about it? And let's not let him play till after the bye week. Forget the Chiefs game. He's more important than just one game during the regular season. But then the other flip is what you kind of stole some of my thunder there, Willard, is what is 6 weeks going to do when 6 months hasn't done? 6 months hasn't done. So that, I mean, I don't know where you go with this. Now, I guess it could be a week-by-week thing. I mean, that leaves everybody like, well, is it this week or is it? Did it flare up again? And then we're doing this back and forth thing. And that, I mean, that's screwing with Kyle, or you just shelf him. Just shelf the guy and, like, not, like, move on from him, obviously, but just move on with the game plan and just know you won't have him for this duration.
Well, Waterman, here's what I would say, because it's a fair point that many might be thinking, but this, and I'm going to just try to translate Kyle Shanahan the best that I can. Dibs, I think you'll back me on this. Waterman, thank you for the call. He's saying if you're considering IR, just do it. My translation is that's what they're trying to tell you. The reason you don't just come out and do it on Friday at 2 o'clock is because the pain came yesterday that was worse. You go through the mourning process at the facility. You're talking with team doctors. You've got to still conduct practice. You've got to put together an injury report for the game. It's a lot going on. It's a busy day. And then once that's all happened, now you're going to huddle as a group. In other words, there's no difference between putting them on IR today or putting them on IR tonight or putting them on IR tomorrow morning or Sunday morning. There's no difference in that. So this is simply the 49ers not rushing to a microphone to tell us what's happening, But if they said it into a microphone, that is what they're doing. That's what I believe. I believe that Christian McCaffrey will be on IR by Sunday morning.
I think that he'll be on IR by tomorrow morning. Yeah. And I do think that the announcement comes out today because they realize there's no sense in even flying McCaffrey there for a let's see if you're ready Sunday morning kind of a vibe. He got through yesterday. He comes in today. Practice was at 12:30 today. By the time he came in today, the pain was so severe that you knew he was going to be out on Sunday. So now you go through practice, 12:30. They probably wrapped it up a little while ago. And, you know, Kyle Shanahan already spoke at 1:30 when it was over. And now you sit down with the GM and you sit down with your player personnel people and you look at your options. And maybe it is you call Matt Breida back and see if he's able to rejoin the team, or you elevate Keyshawn Vaughn off the practice squad, or you look at all your options and you figure out if he's going to go on the IR, what's the corresponding move you make. Yeah. Or maybe you just play this out for another week and you try to get him ready for week three.
Well, we'll see about that.
I don't think that's likely.
Option A, I mean, again, I think Christian is very likely going to end up on IR this weekend. And then it just becomes, dude, you're over here and the doctors are going to let us know when you're ready to go. And if that's week six, great. Seven, eight, great. Not at all, okay. But until you're back, option A is exactly what you saw on Monday. I have absolutely no hesitation about the idea of, dude, let Jordan Mason run for 1,400 yards this year. He can do it in this offense. And I don't sound crazy because I can give you a list of you've never heard of them who do that under Shanahan. Mike or Kyle, that's what they do. This is a very, very effective system. And we can line up offensive linemen to come on the air right now. Mark Schlereth will do it with us next Tuesday, I promise. And he'll tell you exactly why this run scheme is so effective. And if you've got Trent Williams on the left and Pooney doing what he's doing now at right guard, and you're able to pick sides the way they are, like, yeah, yes. Mason can lead the league in rushing if he's healthy for 17 games and gets that opportunity. No doubt in my mind.
Or you can have some sort of a committee, and I referred to you earlier the 2019 year of Coleman, Mostert, and Breida. They combined for 1,930 yards on 400 carries. Now, you're not going to ask, you know, Jordan Mason to carry it 400 times and go for 1,900, but
give him 330.
You give him 280, and then you spread 150 among Garendo and, you know, whoever else you want to elevate up.
28 carries last time?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Okay, yeah, times 16.
28 times 17.
Yeah, 28 that's times about 450. 17.
Yeah, 476.
That seems like a lot.
I take the under.
It feels like it might be a record. But this three-headed monster was 397 carries for more than 1,900 yards. So they were able to run the ball effectively and go to the Super Bowl, by the way, with Coleman, Mostert, Breida, and just a tiny sprinkle of Jeff Wilson. These are not household names.
No, but boy, they were successful and all still bouncing around too. 888-957-9570 is the number. Are the Niners still Super Bowl favorites if CMC hits IR? And what do you expect the record to be after week five if that's the case? 1-0 now, then it's at Minnesota, then it's at the Rams, then it's home to the Patriots and home to the Cardinals before he'd be eligible if the Niners choose to do that. Marvin in Livermore is next up on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Marvin. Thank you for the call.
Hey, how you guys doing? Good show. I just have a different viewpoint. I do think the Niners are the favorites out of the NFC after one game. But three things that I wanted to say. One is, who gets the blame or credit as CMC's agent that good that he hit a serious injury from them so far and had him become the highest paid running back? And then two, on Mason, brand new, he's one fumble or two fumbles away from not starting. So what are the Niners going to do? And then three, I'm a lifelong Bronco fan. Mm. And all those running backs you mentioned did great, but we only won the Super Bowl when we got a Hall of Fame running back, TD. So the 1,900 yards those guys did, they didn't win. And the name of the game for the Niners right now, their window is to win. So I'm not sure running back by committee will win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't, Marvin, this is an interesting call. And I don't love running back by committee either in this particular scenario. A little bit of a chicken or the egg comment. I don't want to take anything away from Terrell Davis. I will say if he ended up on a different team, I don't know that he would have gotten a gold jacket. So when you say they didn't win until they got TD, that's true. But was TD, I mean, we do this to Purdy, right? So was TD a product of the system?
No doubt.
To a degree. And he had John Elway as a quarterback, even though I know he wasn't as devastating in that portion of his career. But anyway, let's just sort of bringing it back to the 49ers. The first thing he brought up I would love to address, the idea of the agent for Christian McCaffrey and Christian himself sort of like insinuating that they pulled the wool over the 49ers' eyes in becoming the highest paid running back. A, he was already the highest paid running back in the game. He just got a little bit more. And B, should the 49ers have known that this was going to linger or flare back up? I don't know if you can ask that of teams. And C, even if they did know that that was a risk, I think you still do it. I think you still do it. You know, it's akin to me on a much smaller scale to what the Warriors did when they showed up to Klay Thompson's hotel room with a max extension. It's like the expectation is that Christian's going to be a part of this for a number of more years and is going to get back healthy. If they end up wrong, it won't be the first time. You know, D Ford, like sometimes things happen and you're just like, yeah. Well, they got
the Niners used to always draft guys with torn ACLs.
Yeah.
If you remember, Marcus Lattimore and Kentavious Street, I believe, was another guy who had an ACL, but they didn't have the wool
Joe Williams
over their eyes. Thank you. Yeah, Joe, who never
played an NFL snap.
Never played.
Grandy said that like he was still mad about it.
That guy, Hurd, the wide receiver. Was it Jalen Hurd?
Yes.
Who had the bad back, and he never played either.
Preseason
so.
Legend, though.
Thank you. Yeah. And I don't believe that they pulled the wool over the Niners' eyes. They knew full well where he was medically, and they chose to sign him and give him guaranteed money anyway because he's that important.
Another free agent name that no one's brought up yet, and I'll throw that at you coming up next. Just food for thought. I don't really know his state right now, but he's available and might be interesting, especially if you're looking for Jordan Mason to not do 28 carries a game. This is some, and you don't want Debo lining up out of the I formation. I'll share that with you coming up next. Matty Barrows is about a half hour away. 888-957-9570. If McCaffrey goes on IR, are they still Super Bowl favorites? Also, your expectation for their record in those next four games if Christian is out. We'll continue to take your calls at 888-957-9570. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. This is Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Well, Christian McCaffrey has taken over this entire situation. Matt Barrows is going to join us in less than a half hour. Willard and Dibs, glad you're with us. We're taking your calls, 888-957-9570. And the news is, first of all, if you're just joining us, he's out. He's out week two. But listen to where the conversation goes next when Kyle Shanahan is asked about it earlier today.
Game injuries, Huff will be doubtful, D. Winters is questionable, and McCaffrey's out.
Does Christian need any kind of procedure or anything of that nature?
No procedure.
You said earlier in the week, IR is still not an issue.
It's something we're considering now. Yeah, yesterday was his worst day. It's on and off, but with it, yesterday having the most pain, something we're going to be discussing here in the next 24 hours.
Something we're going to be discussing here in the next 24 hours. So I'd be shocked if within the next 24 hours he's not on IR because, again, not that it's being discussed, but think of what we know here. He just said yesterday was his worst day and then added that the pain was bad. And he didn't have to share that. Like they ask him about IR and he's just like, he could have been like, we're not there yet. But once you say to the media, this is something we're considering and a discussion that we'll have over the next 24 hours, I don't know. I find it hard to believe that they're not going to come out of that discussion by putting him on IR.
Yeah, because think about it in terms of Christian McCaffrey and his calf and his Achilles tendon. So he experienced the most pain that he has, and that was yesterday into today before practice. So if you're going to wait 24 hours to make that decision, does that mean you're going to check back in with Christian's leg tomorrow? And if it's a lot better after one day, right, then you don't put him on IR? Or do you not even check back in with him because you got to get up and go to Minnesota? And do you just realize that it's not going to be better, so then you make a decision accordingly?
Well, and largely the person who's talking here is not even necessarily the decision maker when it comes to this. Kyle is going to refer to what the doctors are telling him. And we had a doctor on, and he said it was very concerning that you've done all of this work, all of this rest, all of the treatment that no doubt he's getting. And as you try to ramp up to game weeks, now twice in a row, not only was the answer no, but it's getting worse. That's incredibly concerning.
Yeah.
So how on earth would you sit here today and somehow look at the situation and think that he'll be able to play football in the month of September? And if he can't, IR.
Exactly. And even if he's a maybe for next week in week three, and you go through the same process again next week, maybe you get to next Friday and you realize, well, he can't go again. And now you're going to put him on IR, which puts him out through week six. At some point, you have to make the hard choice early in order to allow him to come back and get better. And I liked what Matt Maiocco asked Kyle about any procedure. And I think for me, a procedure would also include injections. Dr. Pandya came on and talked to us about a PRP injection that potentially could be a treatment. And from what I heard Kyle say, I don't think that he was just talking about surgery, but no procedure on the Achilles. I wonder about.
Yeah, I don't know. You know. I don't know. I got to think that a lot of that stuff has already been tried. No, if he really has been dealing with this since January, I mean, you're talking about a major name, a major team with major goals and a major investment. I got to think that if somehow now for a period of time or 7 or 8 months, this is not reacting the way they want it to, they probably tried a whole lot of stuff, would be my guess.
Potentially.
Not surgery.
Right.
That's how I took it. You might be right.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you have the PRP or I've had cortisone shots, which it works on a short-term basis, right, maybe he's at a spot where, you know, he's had those things and he still is in pain, which is possible. Or maybe you're holding off on those treatments until you really, really need him and you're trying to get him healthy the natural way. You don't want to go the PRP route or cortisone or Toradol or anything else that's pain relieving. You want him to get right through natural healing, and he just hasn't been able to do so.
Rick in Fremont. Let's keep going with the phones. 888-957-9570. If McCaffrey goes on IR, are the Niners still Super Bowl favorites? Also, what do you expect their record to be at the end of that stint if, and again, lots of hypotheticals, I get it, but if he was going to be just those five games that would be required, what do you expect the Niner record to be? Rick in Fremont. Hi, Rick. Thanks for calling.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Got a couple of points I'd like to make if I could. I don't think the 49ers are Super Bowl favorites without McCaffrey. I know they won one game. They look really good doing it. I made this point earlier in the week. If you look at their points per game differential with and without McCaffrey, that's a 9-point swing over the last 2 years. And the numbers are identical, 29 with him, 20 without him. So the sample size indicates that they struggle to score too many points without him in there.
Rick, can I interrupt? Because I don't understand. Yeah. I don't understand where you're getting, like, when was the, since Christian got here, then there hasn't been any without Christian. But there's also, pretty immediately, we got a new quarterback. So, like, excuse me if I feel like you're sort of attributing a bunch of stuff to Christian that I'm not sure we can quite do.
So I believe that they have played 4 games over the last 2 years without him, or actually 7 games. I could be wrong on that, but I was looking at the stats the other day.
I think you
and
are.
And in those games.
Yeah, I don't think that's okay. Right. Grandy, can you look that up? I'm remembering, obviously.
Well, he played 16 games last year.
Right. He played 16 games last year, Rick, and the one he missed was the one that everybody missed, which was the game at the end of the year against the Rams.
Got it. So it might be what I'm thinking there. The other point that I'd like to make is, you know, with McCaffrey, you're dealing with not just a running back. So the running back by committee theme doesn't really work with McCaffrey, because McCaffrey is a real threat out of the backfield or when he's spread out as a wide receiver. And the other team knows that they cannot just match up a linebacker when he's a threat in the receiving game. They have to match him up with the safety. And that's one safety less that's going to cover your wide receivers. So I think it's a little bit more nuanced. I think the other defenses will tee off on the wide receivers a little bit better without the lack of, pass-catching running back from the Niners. And the last point I'd like to make is, going back to what Doug Pandya said, even if he comes back in week five or after week five or week six, what's he going to look like? Because he has to rest it. It's not like he's going to be working out on the sidelines, unlike other injuries. He's going to have to completely ice it and stay on the shelf. So what's he going to look like? So I'm leaning more towards your assessment there, Mark, where I'm assuming they're going to have to play with McCaffrey without the better part of the season.
Rick, thank you very much. So a couple things on that. First of all, confirmed that once Christian arrived on this team, he has only missed one game, and it was the game they purposefully sat everybody last year against the Rams. On the other point, though, where he references what Doc said, I'm just managing, and each fan can do this. You'd like manage your own expectations. This is enough for me to just be like, look, I'm going to wrap my head around the idea that Christian might not be available or his normal self for the whole year. And if I'm wrong, actually, it's not an opinion. I'm just preparing myself for that.
Yeah.
If something other than that happens, wonderful. But that's a totally fair question, which is to say, okay, you get through an IR stint, you're feeling better. Like, you go out there, you have no idea. That thing could flare up right away on you. And then you're right back to square one, or you might not perform at the same level you were before. Like, yeah, that I don't know. That feels like something that there's a solid chance they're going to be dealing with throughout the year.
For sure, and he might be dealing with this throughout his career. Nothing is promised. Tomorrow is not promised, especially when you're in the National Football League where the injury rate is 100%. And now you have one of these injuries that, if it gets worse and if a really bad thing happens in that part of your body, it's 9 months and there's no two ways around it. You're out for 9 months, and as a running back at 28, coming up on being 29, you might be on the downside of an unbelievable career because of this particular injury if it gets worse. And so that's just the reality of the sport and the nature of this injury. So yeah, you're going to do everything you can to get him as close to right as you possibly can, and then play him. And if something bad happens, there's nothing you can do about it.
So we want to keep going on the phones, and we will. I just want to let you know, though, that in 5 minutes or less, I want to play something for you that came up on the morning roast when Baldy was there at the beginning of the week. Because it is my belief that we have now swung the pendulum a little bit too far in the other direction. And what I mean by that is Monday calmed us down at such a level that now we're cruising around like the Niners are the same entity with or without Christian. And that's just, in my opinion, flat out not the case. And that's taking nothing away from Mason, who was wonderful, and I firmly believe can be pretty good, if not really good, all year long. But even if he is, that still doesn't make them Christian McCaffrey's 49ers. This is a hit, even if Mason does go out and run for 1,300 or 1,400 yards this year. Like, this will be a lesser performing offense, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair way to put it. You got a guy who was top five in the MVP last year, so that's a safe bet to say your offense won't be as good. It doesn't mean that you will win any fewer games. It just means you're going to have to go about things in a different fashion. And maybe you won't be an automatic 30-point offense. You were on Monday night without Christian McCaffrey, but that's going to be tougher. Minnesota's defense is as good as the Jets, in my opinion, in many ways. The way they crowd the line of scrimmage and they really focus on stopping the run, that becomes a more interesting game for me without McCaffrey. So now, Jordan Mason, the book's out on you. Everybody watched Monday Night Football, and everybody saw you have 28 carries and what you did in the run game. Minnesota's going to go out there and try to snatch his soul. And they're going to try to beat him down and take away Jordan Mason's cute little start to his career as a starting running back. So this might be a Brock Purdy game.
I was just going to say, go ahead and start Brock in your fantasy games this weekend if you do that. Like, I would love that. Go ahead and focus. Put eight or nine in the box. Go right ahead. And then be like, but we're going to fool Brock with misdirection. Go ahead. I love that. Niners 37-14 if you do that.
And you know what I loved watching last year's game, even though they lost, is Brandon Flippin Ayuk was carving them
he
up.
He was great.
Yeah, he was fantastic great. Last
I
year.
I hope he's back to his normal self.
Yep.
In this one. Okay, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.